Morning. Who has a song that we could start with this morning? What's your number, Nick?
Number four.
Number four? Okay, sing number four.
Christ is a Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me.
Just take a moment and ask the Lord for His help this morning. Our God and Father, we do thank Thee for this wonderful day. We thank Thee for the beautiful weather we have here, and we thank Thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for this opportunity to once again open Thy Word and tell of Thy love, Lord Jesus, for lost sinners. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, that Thou art the Savior of sinners, and we trust this morning that if there is perhaps one still here this morning, still in their sins, that they would receive Thee, Lord Jesus, own their need, and come to Thee, call upon Thy name, and be saved. So we just ask for Thy help this morning, and we thank Thee, our Father, in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, who else has a number we could sing this morning?
What's your number? 32.
32? Did someone else have one?
38.
Okay, we'll sing 32 first, and then we sing 38.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
No other fountain.
someone else up here asked for number 38, so we'll sing number 38 also. I know
not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy as I am He claimed before His own. But I know who I am believer, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me begin impart, or how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know I have believed
thank you for those wonderful songs, and thanks for being up here this morning to help me out, because I need a lot of help. Well, this morning, what I'd like to talk about is something that I'm sure a lot of you children, and older ones too, like to do. I enjoy doing it. And, you know, recently, we made a little trip about a month ago to another state, Arizona. Do you know where Arizona is? It's in the southwestern part of the United States. And they have some very interesting terrain there in Arizona. They have mountains and desert. And, you know, they have some different animals than what we have where I live in the Midwest. Supposedly they have rattlesnakes there, but I looked around and I couldn't find a rattlesnake. I really wanted to see one, but my wife, she was glad that we didn't see a rattlesnake, and she was glad I didn't see one. So anyway, we had a nice time there, and we visited the brethren there, and they really enjoyed having us. And you know, the memory verse, I'm sure some of you children learned it, and this morning, I appreciate the fact that you probably took the time to learn the verse. The verse I had was found in Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wonderful, wonderful verse, Romans 10:13. Well, you know, what I was wanting to talk about this morning was swimming. And I know when it's hot out, oh, there's nothing more refreshing than going for a nice swim. Do any of you children have a little pool at home that you like to play in? And get wet, and it's a lot of fun, isn't it? Well, when we went down to Arizona, like I mentioned, they have a lot of things that you can do there. And one thing we enjoy doing is we like to go, and you can go up into the mountains and you can hike. And they have nice little, there's streams that come running down out of the mountain, and you can climb on the rocks and you can play in the water, and it's nice and cool. You know, it was pretty warm when we were there. I think the first day we were there was 110 degrees. But where we went, it was a little cooler because it's a little higher elevation. So we stopped at this one place afternoon, and you had to pay a little money to go into the park there and to hike. And, you know, there was a lot of people there, and they were climbing on the rocks and having a really nice time playing in the water. And, you know, someone had taken in a tree and they tied a rope up in the tree, and you could climb up on these rocks and you could grab a hold of the rope and you could swing out over the water and drop right into the water, the nice, cool, refreshing water. It's a little cool for some people's taste. I remember being up there in March before, and the water is so cold that it's not really all that pleasant. I mean, your head gets numb from the water. It's so cold. But it's a lot of fun anyway. So there were a lot of people doing that, and there was a lot of kids, and there weren't too many older ones doing it. I imagine I was probably one of the oldest ones doing it. If there's some fun to be had, that's what I like to have fun like that. I'm getting older, but I still feel young. So anyway, we were about finished up, and one group of young people, they were having a nice lunch, sitting on the rocks and enjoying and being in the sun. And a family came along, and part of the family, they weren't really dressed for getting in the water, and they were just watching. And they had a little boy, and I think he was probably about your size. You know, he was only about that tall, maybe. Is that about how tall you are? Maybe. Well, he was pretty small. And, you know, it can be dangerous jumping into the water like that. There's lots of rocks around, and one has to be fairly careful, because if you landed on a rock, you could get hurt. And that wouldn't be very fun, would it? So this little boy, he climbed up on the rocks, and he grabbed a hold of the rope, and why, he had everyone's attention. Because, you know, not only was it maybe a little scary, you know, to see that little boy up there, because he could get hurt, but yet everybody was, you know, happy for him that he was going to have some fun and try this, climbing up there and swinging on the rope. So he got up there and he got a hold of the rope. And he paused, like most of us did the first time we did it, you know. You have to take a deep breath and maybe count to 10 or something. And you need a lot of people going, "Come on, you can do it." And he did. And he swung out over the water. And they're like going, "Let go." And he let go of the rope. Splash. Right into the water. Nice landing. Perfect. But everybody was clapping and, "Hooray, you did it." You know, and everybody was excited. I was impressed. You know, it took a lot of courage for that little boy to do that. And, you know, everybody, then they were kind of, you know, went back to their what they were doing. Well, this water, this stream where the water had pooled, it really wasn't much wider than from this row of chairs to this row of chairs. And I think I could touch bottom. I'm going to guess the water was about up to here. But this little boy, he was only about this tall. So where do you think the water came on him? The water was over his head. And so he landed in the water, and he's a paddling, and everybody's going about their own thing, you know, and not paying any attention. His family's over here, maybe 20 feet away, you know, standing around and visiting and enjoying the nice day. And there were some that were standing here right next to where most people would come up out of the water. Now, you have to remember that in this area, so there's a lot of rock. There's a lot of rock, big rocks. And when rocks are underneath the water, they get, you know what I mean? They get this, they get like a film on them, and slippery. You know, when you try to climb up out of there and you just keep slipping and you just go right back into the water. Well, there was some over here and there was a big jut of rock that went out and you kind of had to hang on to the rock, you know, when you walked around there. So it kind of obstructed some other's view of what was going on. But this little boy, he was swimming and he was just having a great time. And he was, we figured he's going to come over and get out of the water. But all of a sudden, these people over here, they noticed that he was saying, "Help, help, help." I couldn't hardly hear him. And there was, you know, lots going on. And people were having fun and laughing and having fun and not paying attention. And here this little boy, he was crying out for help. You know, and he's just a little guy, you know, and he doesn't have a big, real booming voice. He can't yell. And he's calling for help. Well, this person over here notices, well, that little boy is calling for help. And nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's paying any attention at all. So this person yells at this person over there. He says, "The little boy's calling for help. He can't get out. And he's just swimming in one spot. And he's calling for help. And he can't do anything. He can't get to the side. You know, and the water's over his head. So he jumps in and he grabs hold of the little boy. And, oh, the little boy, he was so happy. You know, when the man got a hold of him, the little boy just hung on to him. And just like he was never going to let go. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and the parents, I assume this group of over here was the parents as I was watching this, and they didn't seem to notice at all. It just really kind of shocked me. But you know, boys and girls, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're just like that little boy. You're powerless. There is nothing you can do of yourself and in and of yourself to get yourself out of that situation. Like the little boy, there was nothing he could do. He was trying. He was trying as hard as he could. And I'm sure he meant to get out of the water. And you know, if you're still in your sins, maybe you're trying really hard, and you really intend and mean to do something about your sins. And you're paddling and paddling and working and working, and you don't seem to get anywhere. And it's because you haven't called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how we're saved. That's how we can help, get help, and be free from sins, is by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And so, I wanted to talk a little bit about swimming. And it's very important, I think, anyway, as a parent. And my wife, she thought it was even more important that our children learn how to swim. Because, you know, boys and girls and older ones too, we like to get in the water and swim. And it's a good thing that we know how to swim, isn't it? Raise your hand if you want to tell me, do you know how to swim? How many of you know how to swim? Yeah. See, a lot of you have learned how to swim, and as you get older, it's a little easier. You know, my daughter and I, we took a trip a couple of years ago. We went to, there was an assembly in Missouri, St. Louis. They were having a time for the young people to come and be together and do some activities. And we went and stayed in a friend's house. We did, my daughter and I. And we had a nice time. And, you know, when we got there, it was late. It was late at night. And we were tired. You know, and my friend, we were talking about a little bit together. And he told me that he liked to swim. He liked to swim. And he asked me, I said, "Do you know anything about swimming?" And I said, "Well, I can swim, you know, but I don't know how good of a teacher I could be or how much I could teach you." And he says, "Well, I want to learn more about swimming." He says, "I want to know about swimming. And I'm going to test your kids' knowledge. And I know that you children are very smart. Children are very smart. And all I want to do is I want to show you this morning how smart you are." And so I brought some things in the bag here. And I'm going to ask you, I have some things here, and I want you to tell me, as I show you these things, I want you to pick out, when I get to it, I have one particular thing that would be very useful in swimming. But I have some things that may not be so useful in swimming. So you tell me when I take these things out. I found this morning. I wasn't sure what it was at first, but I think it's a hockey glove. Is that right? There's not much hockey going on. Because in the wintertime, nobody wants to go outside because it gets too cold. And in the summertime where there's no ice. Would that be very good for swimming? No, it wouldn't be very good for swimming, would it? Well, I want to tell you something very interesting about my friend who wanted to know more about swimming. And the next morning, we had gotten to bed about midnight. And I went to bed, and at 6 o'clock Saturday morning, my friend, he opens the door, and he's got his swimming trunks on. He says, "Come on, let's go swimming." "Okay, can I have a few minutes?" That's pretty early to go swimming. Well, he had, where he lives, right in front of their house, maybe just out there where the parking lot is, they have a lake. A small lake, and that's where we went swimming. So we went out there with our swimming trunks and our beach towels, and we limbered up, and you know, and we got in the water, and we were swimming a while, and I was showing them a few things, and we were talking as we went across the lake. And we were going to swim clear across the lake. I don't even know how far it is, but it's quite a ways. And then we were going to swim back. But I'll tell you something about my friend, but I want to ask you, I got something else here. It's this. Would that be very useful in swimming? Maybe. You know, I suppose maybe, but you could pull yourself along with it a little bit, maybe if you had two of them. But that's not something that you use very often in swimming, is it? No. No, it's not. Well, my friend, he was 84 years old. 84 years old, and he wanted to learn more about swimming. And we had a really nice time together. And unfortunately, he's older now, and I don't think he swims much anymore. And you know, he made it across the lake with me, and we got about halfway back, and he decided that he was going to get out and walk along the shore the rest of the way back, which I was thankful for. I didn't want to have to rescue him because I didn't know if I could or not. You know, I was thinking about that little boy that couldn't help himself, and I thought about a story in the Bible. If we could turn to it, it's in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And my children, they've heard me say this before, but so I'm sure they'll be patient. But when they were little, I used to really enjoy reading this story to them. And it's in Luke chapter 7, and I'll just read beginning in verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, that's the Lord Jesus, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful story. Now I have something else here. How about this? Would that be very helpful in swimming?
No,
I don't think it would. Be great for playing what? Baseball, yes. I love baseball. That's a fun game. That's something we do in Iowa. Play baseball, softball. You know, I was thinking about this servant. And there's so much that we could talk about in that story. You know, what really impressed me, among many things there in that story, was here this man who was a centurion, who was in charge. You know, he had a lot going on there. He was very probably an important man, and he said it didn't matter if he had people that if he told them to do something they would do it, no questions asked, I'm sure, and he had a lot of authority and he had power. But he had a servant, and it says that this servant was dear to him. He loved, no doubt. I really believe that's what that means. When it says it was that the servant was dear to him, he loved that man. He loved that servant. And you know, we don't really know much about this centurion, and I don't want to say anything that isn't, the scripture doesn't say, but you know, we consider his position, and we take into consideration what kind of a man he was, and having authority. And I'm sure there were times where he had to be stern with those that were under his authority. And, you know, sometimes we might think those kind of people, they have to be very, very bold. Because, you know, if they're not bold, then they're those that are under their authority may not listen. And so maybe we get a picture in our mind of somebody who isn't very sensitive. But you know, I like to think of that centurion. Here was a man, a servant that he loved, that was dear to him. And he was sick. And here this centurion was completely powerless. There was nothing he could do to help his servant. You know, he could say to those he had authority over, his men, you do that, and they would do that immediately. But there was nothing he could do to help the servant. And you know, boys and girls, you and I, we were like that. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're like that servant. You're sick. You're sick, and you need help. And you need the Lord Jesus. And you know, this man, the centurion, he realized that there was nothing he could do. But there was one thing that he knew that he could do, and he believed, and he had faith. And he had heard about the Lord Jesus, no doubt. And he had heard that the Lord Jesus could help those who were sick, and those who were lame, and those that needed help. And you know, like that little boy that was in the water, and the man went down and saved him, the Lord Jesus, he healed this servant. And you know, imagine that centurion was so thankful. You know, boys and girls, you know, your moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, they desire that you children would be saved and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And how, what a wonderful thing it is when we realize that we need help and we call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. You know, I want to get to what I got here. How about this? Would that be very good for swimming? No. I don't think so either. Would that be very helpful for swimming?
No.
Right. You'd sink right away, wouldn't you? With that. So maybe this is more what we might be looking for swimming. How about that? Yeah, that would be helpful in swimming?
Yeah.
Not only would it be helpful, but I think it would make swimming more fun, wouldn't it? Have you ever used one of these when you go swimming? You know, sometimes you can use these to look down in the water and see fish. And it's very helpful to have one. With these, you can swim a lot longer and safer. So, you know, about a week ago, I was visiting with a gentleman, and I don't know how we got to talking about swimming, of all things, but he was telling me that when he was a little boy, his mom and dad, they had a very large family. He has lots of brothers, and they had fun together when they were little. And his name is Chad. And Chad was telling me that his mom and dad wanted him to learn how to swim. And so he had to take swimming lessons. And Chad did not like taking swimming lessons. He did not want to learn how to swim. Have you ever felt like that? Where you didn't want to do something your mom and dad wanted you to do? I have two. And so he didn't want to learn how to swim. And you know, his mom and dad, they wanted him to learn how to swim so that when the boys would go off and get in the pond or whatever, Chad would know how to swim so that he would be safe. They cared about him. They loved Chad, and they wanted him to learn how to swim. And you know, sometimes we can be like that too, where our mom and dad, they want us to do something. They try and direct us into a certain way. And, oh, maybe we don't want to go that way. And so we rebel. We say no. Or maybe we get a bad attitude. You know, boys and girls, just like Chad's mom and dad, and like the centurion that we read about in Luke's gospel, your mom and dad love you. And there are many here who love you. But most of all, most importantly, the Lord Jesus loves you. And he wants you to be safe. He wants you to be safe for all eternity, safe in his arms. And so I trust this morning that there are any children here that don't know the Lord Jesus, that they would call upon him and be safe for all eternity. Well, let's just close in prayer. Our God and Father, we do thank thee this morning again for that great love that thou hast shown in giving thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray this morning that the message given out was simple and clear, so that even the youngest might understand and realize their need. Father, we just pray that they might come to know the Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank thee this morning that thou art the loving Savior, and thou art not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, Lord Jesus, we do pray that if there is any that has not repented, has not called upon thy name, that they would own their need and turn to thee, Lord Jesus, and be saved. And so we do thank thee for this time together. We just do leave it all into thy hands as we give thee thanks, Lord Jesus, in thy precious and worthy name. Amen.